Okay, let's get back to business over here. We took a little bit of a hiatus. That means a break. For those who don't know the advanced English of the Mashgiach. We took a break from the sugya of kavod rabbanim. Right? We talked a little bit about in Svira. This year we didn't focus on Ben Adam L'Chavero. We focused on the fact that if a person wants to be mekabel the Torah, he must be mechabed the Torah. And part of being mechabed the Torah is not just like Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim, who were lo nagu kavod zeh lazeh. They weren't mechabed each other on the level that was expected of them. But we could work on a more basic sugya, which we said was kavod of Rabbanim. Kavod of Rabbanim. And then we got into the sugya, well, wait a second. Why am I standing up for my Rebbe? What is it about my Rebbe that's worth standing for? And that was, Baruch Hashem, 2 weeks ago, we got into the sugya a little bit of what is a Rebbe and how to find a Rebbe, what to look for in a Rebbe. And we have to work on this, my friends. We have to work on this. The reason we don't stand, and I notice a lot of people don't stand for the Rabbeim. I have a tzad, I really want to speak to Rabbi Wiener about this. I was going to do it before, but to really give a shir on the halachas of standing for our Rabbeim. It could be that a big limud zchus, I myself, after learning the halachas, was so confused. Some Rabbeim you get up all the way, some you go like this, just a little dupe, and how many times a day, you know, it's very confusing. So I think we're going to work on this. A lot of it's not because Chas V'Shalom, Bachrim don't respect the Rabbeim, they just feel uncomfortable with the halachas. But when you stand up, the Torah says, Mipnei Seva Tokum V'Adar T'Pnei Zaken. When you confront somebody who's a Baal Torah, a Talmud Chacham, you get up. You get up. And a person has to know why. He has to know why. But a lot of what's stopping us, my friends, is that we're in the generation of chutzpah. We're in the generation of chutzpah. And I'm going to give you a $1 billion story for free. A $1 billion story. I had to find the source for this story. So as you know, I never say stories unless I can at least find it in print somewhere. It's a gorgeous story. And I can't believe I never heard this story before. And there's so much depth in this story. So let's go. Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Nesivis were walking in the street. That's already enough. I could stop right there. Just picturing Rabbi Akiva. I just see them as Svarim, as people. Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Nesivis next to each other. It's hard for me to believe. I could put the two Svarim together, but I can't imagine just them being together. Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Nesivis were walking together. And a group of punks, you know, teen punks in those days, I don't know what they looked like, but they were punks. We're sitting on a bench, and along comes Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Nesivis, right, passing right by them. Okay? This is like Har Sinai traveling like past your bench. Like, I don't know what I would do. I would run to the next closest mikvah if this happened to me, and I'd be afraid to come out. Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the Nesivis, G'dayle Eilam. And these kids just stayed in their chairs. Hey, Rabbi. How's it going? Right? Stayed in their chairs. This is a maysaf from a long time ago, my friends. Stayed in their chairs. And the Nesivis gave a cracks. Ikvasa de Meshicha. We've already hit the rock bottom. He told Rabbi Akiva Eiger, we're in Ikvasa de Meshicha. We're at the time of Mashiach. Where, and he was referring to the concept that the Gemara says at the end of Sota, chutzpah yazge. There will be a tremendous increase in chutzpah. Look at this. I mean, they knew who they were. Right? They knew who they were. Imagine Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Shlita, passing by, and someone sitting there, hey Rabbi. Right? So the Nesivis said, look, we've arrived. Melech HaMashiach is going to be here quite soon. Chutzpah Yazgeh! Ikvasa de Meshicha! Rabbi Akiva Eiger said, no. This is not the door of Ikvasa de Meshicha. He knew. We're a couple hundred years too early for that. There's going to be something else. What's going to happen in Ikvus to the Mashiach? Said Rabbi Akiva Eiger, me and you, the Nesivus, are going to be sitting on a bench, and these punks are going to walk past us, and they're going to see that we're not standing for them. And they're going to go, oh, Ikvus to the Mashiach. That Maisa is a Maisa. If you ever want to take a walk, you know, people always wonder what you should think about when you walk. Like, what do I think about when I take a walk alone? If you took this Maisa and go on a 3-hour walk, just to unpack this Maisa, what does this mean? So I know what you're thinking. Hey, Rabbi Stark, well, we didn't get there yet, because if Rav Chaim Kanievsky was here, we'd all get up, right? We would all get up. And most certainly, we don't expect Rav Chaim Kanievsky to stand up for us. And the answer is, that is absolutely wrong. And I'm in Chinuch, and I can tell you. It doesn't literally mean stand up. It means that people today believe that the rabbis are here to cater to them. I pay tuition. I came here to be inspired. Rabbi, you better do this for me. He never invited me for Shabbos lunch. What's up with this guy? Didn't he go to chinuch school? Where is this guy? Calls himself a rabbi? Can't my Rebbe, like, get it together? He's always coming late, like. He's here for me! Chutzpah! My Rebbe is a mechutzef! My parents paid good tuition for me to come to Israel, and look at this rabbi, he has the chutzpah to come late, he hasn't invited me to a Shabbos suda yet, right? And he's closer with my roommate than me, and that really annoys me, right? It's a totally different mentality today about who's here for who. Rabbi Kivager was saying it used to be that the Rabbanim were there on a pedestal and you wanted to touch them. You wanted to get close to them. You wanted to have a shaychus to them. Now people are saying, Rabbi, why don't you come to me? Why don't you come over here? Why should I schlep to you? Get over here. It's your job. It's what you're here for. When I was growing up and I was trying to be meshamish, gedolei Yisrael, it was difficult, my friends. And they would all, some would try to chase me away. Scare me away. You just have to keep coming back. And at some point, somebody in this generation was like, isn't he here for the people? I mean, come on. And everything's done. If he doesn't make a house call to me, Revolba Zatzal, he writes in his Mechtavim, an incredible thing. Somebody was tining that he's not available enough for the Talmidim in Ber Yaakov. And he posted on the wall a whole letter about how Mashkichim don't make house calls. Just like doctors. You have to go to the doctor when you need help. The doctor's there when you identify something and you have to come to him. And he said, today for some reason, everybody thinks doctors are just supposed to stick a stethoscope on you without asking, stick something in your ear and check you for an ear infection. You don't even come to him, Bechlal. What? I should exert myself. I should move forward. And people lose out. So many people don't have Rabbeim today. They don't understand the miksoa of Shimush Talmidei Chachamim. Listen to this Rashi. If that story was worth $1 billion, this Rashi, which I never heard anyone quote, so now I have like a sort of a monopoly on this Rashi until now that I'm spreading it, but I have a monopoly on this Rashi. I'm giving it to you, Sonny. This is free. A $2 billion Rashi. You ready for this? What does Shimush Chachamim mean? Listen to this. Yaakov, you'll like this. What does Shimush Chachamim mean? It's one of the Memches Kinyani Torah. It says over here in Rashi that being Meshamish Chacham, I would say get them a glass of water, it's a Gemara in Brachas, right? Or follow them and ask them questions about the shear. Says Rashi, Shedoichik v'nichnas b'chol makoim l'shma divrayim l'shamsham. He squeezes himself in to every place. What is Rashi talking about? To hear their words and be mishamish them. He's that guy. You know that guy? He's that guy. Like, how did he get on the stage over there with all the rabbis? Like, how did he get there? That guy. I had a friend like this. He was that guy. He was doichek v'nichnas. He was so annoying like that. And he got relationships. And he got stories. And he got shimush. It's an art of a different type of chutzpah. It's, I see some greatness over here. I'm here for a couple years in Eretz Yisrael. My Rebbe has given himself up to the Dvar Hashem. This is the most real relationship that I could have in my life. I don't want to wake up the night before and write him one of these letters. Sorry, I was a quiet guy. Blah, 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 blah. I've gotten some of those letters. Not sorry for me, sorry for you. I'm still in Eretz Yisrael and Yerushalayim. You're on Wall Street without any direction. I mean, I like you, but you're lost out much more than me. Doichek v'nichnas b'chol makom. I once spoke to Rabbi Kiva Tatz. Rabbi Kiva Tatz is a phenomenal Talmud Chacham and a big speaker. And I once asked him, how did you get close to the Rebbe? Rav Moshe Shapiro. This was like, for me, this is the ultimate dream, is to be so close with the Rebbe. He said, I wanted to get close to him. I said, what do you mean? He said, I woke up every morning for Vasikin at the Kaisel. As simple as that. And every day I asked the man a Shaila. That's how you did it? That sounds so easy. It really is so easy. But it really is so hard. And he created a relationship. He said, how gratifying it is to have a Rebbe who's Kola Tarakula. Unbelievable. Doichik v'nichnas b'chol makom. Now I'm going to tell you something. I feel that this is the most incredible lesson, perhaps, that I have ever given in yeshiva. I am so excited right now. I don't know how long it's going to take, but I do not want to lose out on this message because it's so important. What does it help to have a Rebbe, to be Meshamish, Talmidei Chachamim? What do we gain? What do we gain from all this? So I'd like to take you into the world of Shimush Talmidei Chachamim, which is also part of getting a Rebbe, and tell you what people look like who have Shimush Talmidei Chachamim and people who don't. The Gemara in Bracha says, who's an Am HaAretz? Someone who knows everything. He knows all the Torah, but he doesn't have Shimush Talmidei Chachamim. Am HaAretz! That's pretty severe. There's a world of Torah called Torah's Chaim. A live world of Torah that you can't get in books. That you can't get in Svarim. That without it you misunderstand all of Bavli, all of Yerushalmi, all of Milchilta, Sifra, Sifri. Everything wrong. Every Medrash Rabbah, every Tanchuma, every Rashi on Chumash. Wrong, 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 wrong. Without seeing a Torah's Chaim, what a person who is Torah looks like, how he functions, how he behaves in his house, how he handles his children, and Shalom Bayis, and how he says over a Svara, and what's a good Kasha on Rashi, and what's a bad Kasha on Rashi. It's all the same thing, my friends. Life and learning is the same. Knowing what's a good Kasha on a Rashba, and what's a bad kasha also will teach you what's a good kasha on life and a bad kasha on life. He represents the clarity. And when you come in front of Torah's Chaim and you say, Rebbe, I think like this. And he says to you, let me hear your tzadim. You go, what do you mean my tzadim? You go, well, you want to make a decision. Let's hear the pros and cons. I didn't think about that yet. He said, come back in 3 days with pros and cons. Right? Now you come back with your pros and cons. That list isn't big enough. What are you doing to me, Rebbe? Come back in 3 days. Right? Finally come up with a list. Okay, you have them. All right, now I want you to evaluate which one's stronger. You want me to do this? Aren't you the rabbi? What's going on over here? Yeah, I want you to evaluate the pros and cons over here. And we dissect it, and then by the time he's done with this key, He answers so many kashas in his life. And in Derech HaLimud, so many shverkites on the Rambam. He has a certain balance, a certain understanding of what Torah is in the real world. Perhaps my favorite Gemara that illustrates this ability of knowing when something is right or is wrong is a Gemara in Mo'ikot and Davhe. The Gemara says, Sam Derech, Yir Yash Elokim, Kol Hashom or Chosav, whoever assesses his ways in Olam Hazeh, will see a Yeshua from Bayre Olam. What's the example the Gemara brings of somebody who assesses his ways? He's always deciding, is this right or is this wrong? A Talmud of Rabbi Yanai. A Talmud of Rabbi Yanai. When Shir would come up, he would ask bomb kashas against Rabbi Yanai in the middle of Shir. Boom, boom, boom. Everyone loved it. It was gewaldic. Kashas, Eisenakashas. All of a sudden, there came the Shabbos Derigla, which is when all the Balabatim come and Rabbi Yanai gives Shir. Right? All the Balabatim like to be impressed by the rabbi. Right? See how much the rabbi knows. This Talmud of Rabbi Yanai, ooh, did he have some good kashas on the Shir. But he didn't say a word. Why? Says Rashi, he knew in this Shir, it's not right to ask questions. Here, the whole point of the Shir is to see the godless of the Rebbe. If I frag up Rebbe in the middle of Balabat, I'm like, the rabbi doesn't know anything. Look at this little punk. He knows more than the rabbi. He understood the balance in life. And so many people never get this. I once had somebody at my house for a Shabbos Suda. And I gave a Dvar Torah. And he started, he was a very bright boy. He even finished Shas. Started slamming my Dvar Torah over and over and over. Okay. And I had a very bad feeling about this. What was my bad feeling? He was coming, MS! Torah! By the way, he was dead wrong. But I couldn't figure it out at the time. He had made a big mistake. After I learned Tyrus, I realized that he had no clue what he was talking about. But if you're going to argue on a guy who didn't learn Tyrus yet, I was like stuck. Like a few years later, I'm like, yeah, I won that argument. But at the time, I had nothing I could say. And a few years later, somebody asked me about this boy. And I told a big mashgiach, and I said, I think he has an imbalance. They're like, how do you know? Because I know. If you're at somebody's house and you don't realize there's a wife and children who think the world of you, where you're the king in your house, and you come shooting Laman HaEmes, then you don't have balance. You don't understand that there's a time and place for everything. You don't have Shemush Talmidei Chachamim! You're missing it. And every Gemara that you read, even if it's all Shas, won't help you. You'll just get more and more backwards. I'm going to tell you something frightening. Dovi, you're going to love this. Let's say somebody says, I have the best guy for your daughter. He's a big Baal Musar. Ooh, you think I'm the Musar man, right? I got all these nice farim. You've been in my house. You've seen the Musar section, right? So I feel like we'll get along great. You know what I would say? No way. I don't care. Show me anybody. Just don't give me a Baal Musar Bachar. Why? It's very nice, guys. Do you know how much people could ruin their lives through reading Shari Tshuva, Mesils Yesharim, Orchas Sadikim without Hadracha? If you want to be the worst husband, the worst father, read Evan Shlema of the Vilna Gaon. I will show you how to ruin your life with so many chazals. A Baal Musar? My daughter will be running out of the house screaming. Someone who doesn't understand anything. That scares the living daylights out of me. I'd much rather some nice guy who doesn't even know who Rabbeinu Yonah is. Like, a Baal Musar is freaky. Freaky. What does the guy know? All those chazals? We need balance, my friends. We need balance. And I found Araya. I told you this is going to be the best shmooze ever. This is the best. And I've done a few. This is the best. Listen to this. Let's play this over and over again. in slow motion. Okay. You see, I'm hyper a little bit here. Anyway, it says in Maseches Derech Eretz Zuta, not an average Masechta, but it's a Masechta in Masechtas Ketanas. Rabbi Akiva, when he started out, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Kachaya Tchilas Tashmish. This was the beginning of when I started to be Meshamish Chacham. Can you imagine? Rabbi Akiva, we all hear about the beginning of the story, we all hear about the end of the story, but let's hear about the process. Listen to this. He says, I started to be Meshamish Chachamim. Why did you start, Rabbi Akiva? He was trying to learn on his own, you know, figure it out. Pamachas Ayizim Alech Bederech, I was walking on the way, Matzasi Meis Mitzvah. I found a Meis Mitzvah, Minisfalti Bo Ba'arba Milim, I schlepped it. Heroically, Arba Milim, Ache Evasiv L'machem Beis Kvaris. Right? Imagine Rabbi Akiva trekking a dead body all the way, Arba Milim, to get it to a Beis Kvaris. Sounds like an art scroll book. Sounds incredible. Chapter 27 of Rabbi Akiva, The Life and Times. Right? Not exactly. What happened? Kavartim, I buried him. I told the Rabbanim what I did. Amruli kopsia upsia shepasata mala alecha kilu ayisa shofech damim. It's like you killed innocent blood with every step. Chapter 27 in my book. Amrulahem lama. I was trying to be good and I was bad. Kirusha. I was acting like a Russia. I had no idea. Bishasha loniskavanti. Imagine when I'm trying to be bad. Alachas kama vikama. Not bad, but just not thinking at all. Just going through the day. Rabbi Kiva would never think to be bad. But ososha, from that time, lozasti milashamish lechachamim. I didn't leave the chachamim. My friends, what is this story doing over here? This is exactly what you get from a Rebbe. A lot of times we have in our heads what's good and what's bad, what's heroic, what's impressive, and what's wrong and terrible, and we're not deep enough. We're not deep enough. Rebbe Akiva chabt. If I just stay in the Beis Medrash and learn, I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to understand how to be mechanich my children. I'm not going to know how to run a Shabbos table. I'm not going to know how to be part of a community. I'm going to do everything backwards and unbalanced. And there are a lot of people like this. Rav Gusman! I heard this from a Talmud of Rav Gusman who heard it from Rav Gusman himself. The great Rav Gusman, he was a dayan on Rav Chaim Ozer's Beis Din in his 20s. The Chafetz Chaim stood for him in Europe in his 20s. Rav Gusman called Rav Chaim Ozer his Rebbe. Why did he call him his Rebbe, you might ask? Maybe he learned from him in the Vilna Beis Din. That wasn't the reason. Listen to this. It's a blow away. He called Rav Chaim Ozer his Rebbe because there was once an argument he was having with Rav Baruch Ber's brother, who was also on the Beis Din, about Hilchas Shechita. And Rav Baruch Ber's brother was being mekel on something. And Rav Gusman wanted to be machmir. And they're fighting about this. Mekel, machmir, mekel, machmir. And they took it to Rav Chaim Ozer. He was new on the Beis Din. Rav Gusman, he wanted to make moves. He wanted things to be right. He thought this was wrong. And he comes to Rav Chaim Ozer. Rav Chaim Ozer sides with Rav Baruch Ber's brother. And Rav Gusman says, okay, I quit. I'm off the Beis Din. Okay. Rav Chaim Ozer looks him in the eye and says, younger man, young man, medaf hobin yishuv hadas. We have to be people who have peace of mind. What are you doing? Running off of a Beis Din? Younger man, medaf hobin yishuv hadas. And he said, because of that, he became his Rebbe. What is such a big deal about that? That's everything. He taught him that when a person has a certain feeling of being off balance, something's wrong. And when decisions are made in that state, they're going to be grave errors. You can lose a position on the Beis Din in Vilna over Kleinigkeit. And he said he called Rav Chaim Ozer, his Rebbe. Rav Gusman was an Ilui Shebi Iluyim. He unpacked that Maisa and carried it with him through his whole life. He probably had that ringing in his head. Younger man, Medaf Habin Yishuv Hadas. Since I'm taking so much time, maybe I'll even tell you something about Rav Gusman. I feel like I just want to share. Listen to this. That man who, just to even the scores, I wasn't planning on saying this, but that man who almost quit the Beis Din in Vilna, how did he look at the end of his life? There was a kashrus agency that was upset with Rav Gusman being a mekel in a certain area of kashrus. And they brought a couple goons came to the Beis Medrash in Netzach. And they came to Rav Gusman and they said, listen, you're supporting something that great Rabbanim don't support. And you can join us and we'll give you your name everywhere. You'll be part of us. And that'll be great. But if not, you're going down. We're gonna take you down. These guys were serious goons. That means like it's bad signs about you, like everywhere in Yerushalayim, wherever you go, you know, like Rav Gusman looked at them and he said, I want you to know something. You're offering me kavod, great honor. The Chafetz Chaim stood for me, and I can't get any more kavod anymore. There's no greater kavod than that. And you're trying to scare me with bizyonus. My little child was in my arms when the Nazis killed him. And I'll never be able to suffer any greater than that. So Kinderlach, have a nice day. And he went back to his Gemara. That's what happens when at 20 some odd years old, someone says to you, younger man, midaf haben yishev hadas. Otherwise, you know what happens? Or imbalance. Imbalance. That's shimush, my friends. That's shimush. And I want to talk a little bit about having a sense of humor, being funny. Because you guys think I'm a little weird. I'm a little loony. It's true, Lumaisa. I'm a little bit weird. First, when I was younger, by the way, kids used to make fun of me when I was mamish, like 9 or 10, because they didn't chop my jokes yet. And then I became very cool later. But I was like a revolutionary in funniness. Like, they thought I was weird, but I pushed it was funny, but no one was intelligent to chop what I was doing. This mamish happened. This was my life. Akiva, this is what I went through as a little kid. Eventually, I became in again. But I want to talk to you a little bit about senses of humor. Because maybe I'll start with myself. Why not? I'll start with myself. You know, at a certain point I decided I want to get very holy. I was very into my learning and devouring any sefer and like looking for old svarim that nobody reads and dusting them off and just sitting with them for hours. You know, that type of guy. Interesting guy. And I'm like, maybe I even thought like I was like one of these like future Mekubalim, like I had aspirations, you know, probably to wear white. Interesting Zachen. And I stopped being funny. For a good few years, I was not funny. Yeah, it's true. Even into marriage, my friends. Even into marriage. I was serious. I was mumbling Yevamos in the streets of Yerushalayim. And then I got to Rav Naftali Kaplan, my Mashgiach. You can even have mashgichim at a later point. And he started making really strange like jokes with me. He's like a person who thinks about every move that he makes. And who's always like doing weird things. I was trying to do the code in the yeshiva. We were part of an American Israeli place. He usually speaks Hebrew with everyone, but me, I'm English. I'm trying to do it, and he comes behind me, starts doing the code very quick. He goes, open sesame! Where's it from? where's the makar for open sesame? So like, what is going on here? So I'm like, I don't know. I wanted to say Sesame Street, but that was I didn't know what to say. He said, Aladdin's lamp, and you're a grubba on the arts, and nothing's gonna become of you. Okay. Then I came early to yeshiva. I would learn with the great Rabbi Aryeh Berenstein, the Kudshim master of Yerushalayim. I was all proud of this. And he would come from the, in Chevron Geula, I picture him wearing tefillin at the time, coming, and he said, you're late. Late, like the whole place not here, it's just me and Rabbi Aryeh Berenstein. He's like, you're late. I'm like getting all uncomfortable, because I'm a mashkiach, I'm supposed to tell you you're late. What's going on over here? And he chapped that I was losing a gift that would be a major kli in my whole ability to be mashpia, and he didn't stop until he made me back into the clown that I was. And that's why you guys get to have a good time over here. And I want to tell you, how many Gemaras in Shas? If we have any Shas Yidden over here, don't worry, it's not that hard. How many Gemaras in Shas talk about making jokes? Not too many. Not too many Gemaras in Shas. And even the ones that say the word Badchi, there's different Perush in what the word Badchi means. By the time we're done, like, nobody's making jokes. All I can tell you is I was by all the Gedolim, and I saw them always making jokes. I was by Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg Zatzal, with all the tzitzis, with the tefillin, and I remember my father. My father is a big Rebbe himself, and he loves to give gedolim brachas, and they appreciate it. They get taken aback, but even Rav Chaim Kanievsky, he appreciates it. And I remember one time, he's giving Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg a bracha, v'richas yamim, to continue being mashpia on Klal Yisrael. And Rav Scheinberg says, you give the dough, I give the brachas. I was by Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, Zatzal. Rav Aaron Leib Steinman. And I was with him, with my father, and we said that we're Einoklach of the brother of the Gain, the Malas HaTaira. Rav Aaron Leib, making it very, I told my father, don't say it, he's not going to care. But he chapped, it was important to my father. Right? And then, in the middle of all this, my father speaking Yiddish, and in the middle of all this, Rav Aaron Leib says, but I have a kasha for you. Something's really bothering me. He says, you say you're an einikel of the Milas HaTorah, of the brother of the Gaon, but you speak a Gilat Zionish Yiddish. Chassid. So, my father said, well, my father was from Galicia. My mother's from the Baal Milasar. So he says, you need to speak Mamaloshin. Mamaloshin means Yiddish, but it was a play on words, your mother's language. And he started laughing. I'm like, what is going on over here? Like, I was coming into this room with total trepidation. I was by Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and this joke came up twice. Twice. He asked my father, how do you spell the word? My father's name is Noach. Noyach. Okay, how do you spell it? Nun Ches? No. Rav Chaim started writing. Nun. Vav. He like barely could hold the pen. Yud. Aleph. Chaf Seifis. Noyach. Like, anything Rav Chaim does is funny. When you're there, it's like, what is going on over here? Twice we got this joke. What's pshat? They say that Reb Aaron Leib learnt he has a mesira in being in his humor, because he was meshamish the dayan of Brisk, Reb Simcha Zelig. Reb Simcha Zelig was super gishmak, and Reb Aaron Leib spent a lot of time with him. Can you imagine? When you have a Tiras Chaim, you learn quickly Gemaras that don't appear in Shas. how to be machabeg people, how to make them feel comfortable, how they should enjoy your presence. Imagine you come into Rav Aaron Leibstein and go, what do you want? That's a gadol. Most people are like, whoa, he's so holy, you're a shamayim, wow. Right? Or Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg with all the tzitzis goes, you're a gilgul of somebody who needs a big tikkun. Like, that's, whoa, that's so religious. That's not religious. That's Catholic. That's not Jewish. And I'm not saying, my friends, that there aren't gedolim who are very serious. I'm not saying that. However, what I am saying is that when you experience these things, you learn how the Torah is supposed to enter you, and if it speaks to you a certain mahalach, and it works for you, you can go with it confidently because you saw that this is what Torah looks like in a person. Even if you can't find one or two gemaras about jokes, you start to understand what it is to be benachas, to be geshmak, what simcha really means, to enjoy yourself. Do you know how hard it is in your 90s to say new jokes? Some people in my life were in their 60s, they always say the same jokes, every time. To be 95 years old and say new jokes, that means you have to be present in the conversation completely. For Rav Aaron Leib Steinman to make a joke about the Mama Lashon meant he was totally present in his late 90s with us. And you leave feeling like billions of dollars, like the Gadol Hadar is willing to schmooze with you. Not just give you a bracha, but he enjoys your presence. It's the ultimate way of being Mechabed a Yid. And if you never would have thought of it on your own, it's because you're not a Gadol. And you need to see B'Toyres Chaim. So you'll tell me, I want to get, do you guys mind that I'm keeping you here? This is really worth a lot, trust me. I know it, I usually don't do this, but I'm doing this time because it's so gishmak, it's better than dinner. It's pasha better than dinner. I want to talk about this idea of balance a little more. This idea of being able to know what's right to do, what's wrong to do. You know, that scary guy who's reading the Shari Tshuva and he's totally unbalanced. How do you get different when you see Gedolim? Listen to this story. Another $2 billion Maisa, Sonny. Another $2 billion Maisa. The great Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. Chakim HaDiuda, one of the considered the wise man of the Yidden. A Meicher Esregim. Just to give you the balance. Just to show you what this looks like. A Meicher Esregim picked out for Rav Yaakov what he thought was the most stunning Esreg. So excited. Goes to present it to the Rosh Yeshiva. Gives it to him. The Rosh Yeshiva said, thank you so much. And puts it right away. Says, Shkayach, and that was it. So the Meicher Esregim said, he's not using this Esreg on Sukkot. I know how Yidden check Esregim, right? And those magnifying glasses up in the light, up and down, all around, right? That should have taken a lap 30 minutes or more before we got the check. There's no way he's using that Esreg. It's done. It's a done deal. It felt bad. So comes the first day of Sukkot, and Rabbi Yaakov is using this Esreg. And the Meicher Esrogim is mamish dumbfounded. The Gadol Hadar uses an Esreg that he doesn't give the third degree. Every little kid gets a magnifying glass, you know, in this country, you know, to play around with. What's going on? So he went to the Rosh Yeshiva, says, Rosh Yeshiva, I'm so honored that the Rosh Yeshiva is using my Esreg, but I was sure the Rosh Yeshiva wouldn't use it. He said, why? He said, well, the Rosh Yeshiva took it, said, thank you, put it away. And that's not what you do to an Esreg. An Esreg is given that, you know, that check. So he says, what? He says, it says in Meseches Derech Eretz that when you get a present from someone, right? Imagine someone gets a watch, right, from his shver. Okay? This is not as expensive as a shver watch, but right, you're getting it like, thanks, Dad. Oh, that one. Oh, okay. All right. Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it. Right? He says, there's a halach in Meseches Derech Eretz that when you get a present, you're not allowed to check it in front of the person who gives it to you. You say thank you and that's it. It's disrespectful. You gave me a present. Do you know how hard it is to see an Esreg as a present? Most people, when they see an Esrog, they see Esrog, black dots. Ah! Rabbi Yaakov said, I see a Yid who picked out a present for me. I will say thank you. He said, when I got home, I sat with this Esrog and I gave it that third degree. And it was halachically lichatchila, tshib lichatchila, and that's why I used it. But I would never do that in front of you after you gave me such a beautiful gift. Do you realize what a story like that could change in a person? To experience that, or even to read about it. Rav Dan Segel, the great Rav Dan Segel, my friends. I could go all night. And you're getting free shimush talmidei chachamim. Rav Dan Segel, the great Rav Dan Segel, who doesn't speak for 40 days in Elul. He has all sorts, he does Netilas Yadayim on his fruits and vegetables in case there's any Ruach Ra. He doesn't eat any food that doesn't have Netilas Yadayim done to the actual apple. That's Rav Dan Segel. Rav Dan Segel was walking with someone that I know. And they were going before, in the Yom Noraim, to visit an almana. And Rav Dan doesn't speak during that time, so that's not easy, but imagine he's sitting there to be mechabe the salman, and she asks, do you want cake? So he nods his head, yeah, cake. And he probably said, divrei Torah, the tainus dibur doesn't mean you don't speak, but you just, Torah. She said, you want another piece of cake? Yeah. Okay. Interesting. The person who was with him knows Rav Dan never eats out of his house, ever. This is a man who has every chumrah in the book. Never eats outside of his house. So get out of the house. And he says, Mashkiach, you never do this. You never eat outside your house. Everybody knows this about you. He says, listen, I know I don't eat outside of my house, but that's a chumrah in kashrus. It's a chumrah. Do you know what it is to be metzar and almana, to cause a widow pain? Is an Isser Doraisa. You think I'm going to take a chumrah that I have and mess up with being mitzar and almana? And so many people would, by the way. Whoa, I'm almost there, day 40 of my new Kabbalah, not to eat outside my house. I don't want to ruin my check in my cheshbon nefesh. That's wrong. It creates backwardsness. It creates stupidity. It even creates rishus. Ultimately, it creates rishus. The Gemara in Sota says someone who's not Mishamish Talmid HaChachamim is called a Rasha. And I want to tell you, all of your Rabbeim carry the balance of their Rabbeim. Talmidehem! The Rambam writes that there's a din of being Davak to Talmid HaChachamim v'Talmidehem! You don't have to just be Davak to all these Gedolim that I'm quoting. If you connect to a Talmud Chacham, or a Talmud of a Talmud Chacham, who can bring it to the next generation, that counts. It's a diyuk in the Rambam. And any Talmud can offer this for you. I've gotten things from Talmidim. I once got a treasure from a friend of mine, who in Lakewood, he was upset that so many people are into Brisker Chumras, and he doesn't feel that they're balanced, and he feels they're not good in the basics, but they're so into their chumras, and it really bothers him. And he went to Rav Matis Yosalm, the great Mashkiach of Lakewood, to lament the imbalance over here. And Rav Matis Yosalm said to him a line that I want you to know I carry with me all the time. He said, you're right. This is not the way to be. To be so crazy about all the chumras and not to be involved in the basics. He says, but I'll tell you something. This is their chiyus. This is what keeps them going. What he was saying was, even if something's not ideal, but if you see someone's getting a geschmack from chumras, you see that it's propelling them forward, it's their Yiddishkeit, you don't mess with it because you're playing with fire. And there have been times where this has been ringing in my head. I see Bachrim who love to buy Svarim. They're just buying and buying Svarim. And I think it's Bal Tashchis. I think it's a waste of their money. They're never going to learn these things. And they should just go to a base medrash or just sit in their house with Abaye and Rava. They'll learn much more. And then a little voice comes to me and says, Stark, this might be their chiyus. If you tell them to stop buying Svarim, they might lose their geschmack in Yiddishkeit. And people who are running to Kabbalah and asking me all these questions, like, Rabbi Stark, if you take Midas Yisod and mix it with Malchus, what do you get? Like, where did you read that? Like, in some Breslov pamphlet somewhere? Right? And then there's this little guy in my head saying, maybe that's his chias. Maybe this is what's keeping him going. Maybe he finds Gemara utterly boring, and the only thing that's keeping him around is some of these, like, smatterings of Kabbalah. Don't mess. One line from Rav Matzis Yo Salomon that I wasn't there for, but I heard from a Talmud, and it's a compass for me. That's Shimush Chachamim, my friends. That's Shimush Chachamim. And we have to realize we have Rabbeim. All of your Rabbeim are people who were created by the generation before. They all, and I know them well, have this balance, have this understanding, have things to offer. And we have to jump for the opportunity, not just stand for them. We have to jump for the opportunity to get. And this is Torah's Chayim. Whoever develops a relationship with a Rav, whoever's genuinely mechabed in the way that Rabbi Akiva Eiger meant, that he understands that his goal is to get closer to the Rebbe, not that the Rebbe should be busy with him, that he should find a way that the Rebbe should bring him up. He's going to get places. As Rashi says, Shimush Tamei Chachamim is Doichei Gatma B'chol Makom. We should be Zeichet that this should be a chelik of our Kabbal Sator. It's one of the Memches Kenyanim, Shimush Chachamim. We shall be Zeichet to all the Memches Kenyanim and be Zeichet to a full Kabbal Sator.